720. WGN, Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley, in for Steve Cochran. We've got a couple more Morton salts. Sprinkling it into the wounds
being rubbed into the wound. 630 texted in, I heard that the Acura dealership filed assault charges against Morton.
Clever.
There was another one that said, thank goodness it wasn't next to a Duracell factory, because then it would have been, wait for it, assault and battery.
Wow.
I know. Well, these aren't mine, people.
Bears fans may feel
don't
that,
send those letters.
That over at Hallis Hall, they've been assaulting the fans with losses over the the past few years. A lot of activity going on there. None of it including playoff preparation, at least at this point. But on the line, we've got the voice of the Green Bay Packers, but also 20 years as the TV voice for the Chicago Bulls. He spent a decade as the voice for the Bears and is one of the few guys to call Super Bowl championships for the Packers and the Chicago Bears. It is Wayne Larrivee. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you guys.
So, Wayne, Andy's talked about it during some of the sports breaks, is that they are on this whole get the right GM, get the guy in place. Ernie, of course, they've got him in there to go ahead and help pick the next person who's going to do that. As a person who's worked for both organizations, and whether Bears fans are rivalry aside, they've got to be envious at the organization that you guys have up there in Green Bay. So how important is it to get the right person in the GM spot?
Well, the successful organizations, they have that. That's the first thing you do, is you get the general manager in place. He selects the coach, and usually what you want is the GM and the coach, the guy who's acquiring talent, scouting talent, making the decisions on free agents. You need him in concert with your head coach, and usually that's how it works in the NFL. GM first, and then you hire the coach.
Wayne, are you surprised at all? I mean, you've been around that Hallis Hall for a while, and now I'm up in Green Bay, maybe they didn't restructure what they were thinking, especially the front office with Ted Phillips, who's a tremendous businessman. And you wonder about the football acumen, if there maybe shouldn't have been a guy that took over that side of things, kind of like the Cubs did with Theo Epstein.
Well, you've got to find the right person for that. I think what the Bears are doing with Ernie, of course, is a good move, because he's a good football man and has been a GM of an NFL championship team in the past. And so I think he'll be able to identify candidates that make sense for the Bears. But it's a delicate mix. I mean, you look at the great organizations, in Baltimore, you've got Ozzie Newsome. He hires and basically fires the coaches and acquires the talent. In Pittsburgh, they have the same setup. Mike Tomlin worked for a GM, of course, in Green Bay. The football setup has been very well defined over the last two decades since Bob Harlan put in place a general manager, and that general manager then hires the coach, and the football operation operates independent of the rest of the team, for the most part, of the rest of the organization. The business side is there basically to put the financial structure in place so that football can doesn't have any restrictions as to acquiring talent and winning on the field.
Well, one of the things that's been good about those organizations, you can look to the Patriots over the years, and certainly the Packers too, is that they're not making splashes with high-priced free agents, getting those named players. It's like the farm system is really one of the important things, and the financial side is so important to that. You want to get really good players and then be able to get them cheap, right, for the first and kind of that bulk of the first part of their career.
Well, the Patriots are an exception because Bill Belichick does it all. And it's obvious that the people that have fallen off the Bill Belichick tree have not been successful, including those in the front office. Thomas Dimitroff, who's a Belichick disciple in the front office down at Atlanta, he's probably the next to lose his job down there. But the coaches have not distinguished themselves, with the exception of Saban, that I could really say Nick Saban, and he's on the college level off the Belichick tree. That's a unique situation, and they do it in many ways. They not only draft, but they also will trade. They are the one team that does a lot of trades at the trading deadline over the years, and they will also do some free agency, although not the big first, second-day free agent acquisitions like Daniel Snyder does in Washington. Most organizations, what you want to do is you do want to grow your own, but draft and develop takes time, and you have to make the right decisions. And the key to all these teams that are successful that we're talking about here, in the case of the Packers, it's been quarterback. In the case of the Patriots, quarterback. Same thing in Indianapolis. Same thing in Pittsburgh. What do these organizations have in common? Above everything, they have great quarterbacks in place.
Hannah, Stanley, Dane, Neal, we are talking with Wayne Larrabee, and we'll continue so, but first we have to... Hannah Stanley and Danielle filling in today for Steve Cochran, and we'll be with you tomorrow as well. This is our celebratory New Year's Eve show.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. We are going to continue covering that fire that is in the South Loop affecting several restaurants, and then we're going to be joined by Courtney Crowder talking about 2014 television shows.
People all over the world are looking forward to 2015. People all over the country, sports fans, NFL football fans looking forward to the playoffs. Not a lot of people in Chicago looking forward to the playoffs, but looking forward
playoffs.
I know.
Playoffs.
Thanks, Jim Mora.
But I'm looking forward to a bright future as some of those moves have been made. We've got a guy on the line that is part of one of those organizations that is playing consistently during playoff time. It is the one and only Wayne Larrabee. Welcome back.
Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, Wayne, I wanted to ask you about something that that you probably, well, obviously you saw last weekend up there in at Lambeau with Ndamukong Suh, and he did not get suspended. After all, he appealed, and they fined him $70,000. Today, his defense was his feet were numb, and he couldn't tell the difference between the turf and Aaron Rodgers' leg. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, when I saw it at first, I kind of felt the same way Walt Anderson did, the referee, and then, you know, he was kind of getting blocked into him and that type of thing, and I didn't think a whole lot of it. I know Aaron Rodgers' reaction would tell you otherwise, but... you know, I didn't think they would suspend him. I thought, you know, maybe they might fine him. But his reputation preceded him, and the league wanted to suspend him. But, you know, the process, due process, the appeal was made. And, you know, they decided to fine him instead of suspend him. But, you know, that's as far as the Packers are concerned, that's water under the bridge, and they're on to other things.
What part does his reputation play into either the suspension or other penalties?
Well, the league says it had nothing to do with that incident, but I think, you know, in a situation like that, you're not in the court of law. So, you know, I think those factors were considered when they suspended him, yes.
We wanted to ask you, too, the reputation, of course, of Jay Cutler has kind of preceded itself and led into things. On the quarterback side, for the Green Bay Packers, you've got Brett Favre, you know, a first-ballot Hall of Famer. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's possibly even better. How does that happen? When you look at the Bears, Jay Cutler statistically is probably the best quarterback outside of Sid Luckman, right, that the Bears have ever had. How have the Packers been so lucky, and how can the Bears find a quarterback like that?
Well, you know, they got...
is there a quarterback store? Quarterback.com?
You know, I mean, San Francisco did not pick Aaron Rodgers first in the 2005 draft. It was between Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith, and you know, San Francisco decided to pass up, made a decision. Mike McCarthy, who is now the head coach of the Packers, was a part of that decision-making process that year in San Francisco. They selected Alex Smith, and, you know, the rest is history. Alex Smith, unfortunately, had four different offensive coordinators his first 4 years in the league. Aaron Rodgers came to Green Bay. The Packers didn't need to draft a quarterback, but they were picking 24th that year, and Aaron Rodgers kept sliding to them. By the time he got down to 24, it was a no-brainer, and although the Packers didn't need a quarterback at the time, they took him because he was by far the highest-rated player on their board, and the rest is history, you know. So the moral of the story is, when you're drafting, don't draft for need. Draft for the best player that's on your board, the highest-rated player on your board, even if you have a player at that position, because you never know with football down the road what might happen. So that's really how it happened with the Packers. Rodgers fell to 24 in that draft, and they just could not pass him up. So they selected him. He sat 3 years. The best thing to happen to him was Mike Sherman got fired, and Mike McCarthy, ironically, got hired. And Mike McCarthy's a strong quarterback coach and teacher, and he basically took 3 years while Brett Favre was finishing his time at Green Bay, took 3 years and built Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the fan base, obviously, Brett Favre, with everything that happened, the super, you know, They loved Brett Favre. But when Mike McCarthy came out and said that train has left the station and let him go, it was an uproar. You didn't know if it was going to work out all right. Now, you get to watch these guys in practice all the time. It's hard to say that you thought Aaron Rodgers would maybe be statistically the best ever. But did you know that he was really special? And how did you come down on that?
I knew he was special. I said that draft day. I had had an opportunity when I was working for ESPN doing Big Ten games. On one Saturday, while playing for Cal, Aaron Rodgers started against Illinois at Illinois against a very good Illinois defense and just shredded them. And at the time, you know, I was working with an analyst by the name of Randy Wright, former quarterback in the league. Matter of fact, he started for the Packers for a couple of years and had played at Wisconsin. And, you know, he was very impressed with him. So I kind of kept an eye on Aaron Rodgers the following 2 years. And you know, when the Packers drafted him, I remember that we were doing one of these draft shows and there was some boos, and because the Packers needed a defensive lineman or defensive end pass rusher. They didn't need another quarterback. Brett had just announced he was coming back. And so people weren't too happy. And I said, hey, listen, folks, wait. Hey, you know, just wait on this kid. He's going to be a heck of a player. And this is a great draft pick for the Packers. And, you know, that's one of the few times I've been right about something like that.
People wonder and they ask. You've been in both places. Granted, at least at this point, the caliber of football is something the Bears would want to emulate. But as far as food, we've got it on you up there, outside of the Brett Favre Steakhouse or the Olive Garden. Do you miss Chicago, right? You get back here and you eat on a regular basis.
You know, Chicago has so many great restaurants. It's amazing. You know, we have great food in Wisconsin. Don't get me wrong. We really do. But, you know, you look at Chicago. The thing about Chicago that's interesting is that there's a steakhouse and a good one on every corner in Chicago. That's the amazing thing about that town. But the one thing I really like, I love Lou Malnati's pizza. And we get some sent to us by a friend down there every once in a while. And it, even frozen, it's a great pizza. It really says Chicago to us.
Well, Rocky Rococo's, you guys have that. It can't hold
it's
a candle.
It's not the same.
Well, good luck, Wayne. If you want to give us a little bit of a thought process as your team prepares for the playoffs, and what do you think is going to happen in the wild card games?
Well, you know, it depends on who gets here. That's the thing. But the Packers needed the week to kind of heal up a little bit, especially the quarterback. But Green Bay is relatively healthy, unlike the last 3 years when they've been in the playoffs. The Packers are overall pretty healthy, with the exception of Aaron Rodgers' left calf. But beyond that, this is an opportunity for them, with good health, with their people in place, to make a run. And I think it all depends on how much they're able to get out of their defense. If their defense can stop the run, if it's Dallas that comes up here with DeMarco Murray, that's going to be a challenge. But, you know, if Detroit upsets Dallas, Detroit goes to Seattle, and then all of a sudden you've got the winner of the Carolina-Arizona game coming to Green Bay, and the Packers blasted the Panthers midseason in Green Bay, and you know, Arizona doesn't have a quarterback for the most part, so that would be interesting, too, to see. But I think that what we're going to get is a Seattle-Green Bay NFC Championship game. Those are the two best teams right now. Dallas is a close third.
Based on where these teams are located, does weather play a part in how these teams play?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. You know, it has a major factor in the way they play and what they're able to do. But, you know, the thing about, I look at a team like Dallas with their defense, and even Detroit, if you can run the football and stop the run, Dallas can run the football. I'm not quite sold on their defense, but they're playing it so well offensively. With the running game, if you can run the football this time of year, you can win in any kind of environment.
Well, Dallas, it seems like, is more of a real deal than they have been in years. And I think with the Packers, you're looking at, with Eddie Lacy and the running game being in there, the Packers are probably as complete a team as they have been in years as well. I don't know if everybody in Chicago would agree with you, but we're going to tell you, we do like what's going on the win side. We're just maybe... It hurts to say that it's the Packers that are doing it. But good luck, guys, and all the best, Wayne.
All right, Happy New Year, folks. Take care.
Thanks so much. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today for Steve Cochran. We are going to be joined by Courtney Crowder next, talking about 2014 television series in review.